Hello and welcome once again to everybody's favorite half hour of the week. Yes, it's the CGW podcast. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of CGW, and with me today, as usual, are the following.
Ryan Scott.
Roll call, Sean Elliott.
And Darren Gladstone.
And
Scott Asnault.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff.
First of all, let me just say that this next half hour is going to be a Wii-free zone. I think every single person's podcast this week has been about the Wii. And do we need to chime
we
in on that now that I've said it?
The puns on it, they got to stop.
The joke train's over.
We have much better stuff to talk about today.
So we're not going to Wii here. I just did it.
We restart this thing?
God, no. Okay, it's we'll move on. No Wii from the CGW editors. What we will talk about is this was actually a good week for some PC game releases. So we've all been happy little gamers playing our games. Let's see. We had Guild Wars Factions went live officially. I've been playing a lot of Heroes 5, which is not out yet, but I did get the Gold Master because I'm special. So I've been playing a lot of that. We had Auto Assault from NCSoft.
Yeah, that came out, a couple weeks ago.
Right. What were we just talking about?
Paradise.
Oh, Paradise. Right. From the guy who made Siberia, which none of us have started yet, but we're excited about, some of us.
And we also just got in today the Gold Masters for Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter PC and a couple AGF physics cards.
And to top it off, Hidden Beta 3 came out, which is a source mod. That's really cool. We've talked about it before on the show, and the latest version came out. It's really nice.
Right. So all of a sudden, lots of games to play.
And no time to play them.
Ryan has been knee-deep in Factions, and he's been yammering kind of incoherently about it ever since. So, Ryan, you told us you had a rant you wanted to unleash about Factions. And since you rarely rant, we're giving you the chance now.
You want to rant?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the big thing about Factions is the two new classes that the game introduces. There's the Assassin, which is sort of like a rogue-type character.
She was our cover babe, right?
Yeah.
The Assassin.
He was.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. And those guys, they do a lot of damage. They have no armor. And then the Ritualist is kind of like this weird hybrid spellcaster type of character.
Kind of a summoner thing, right?
Yeah. It's sort of like a healer, summoner.
I mean, is it kind of like a hybrid of, like, basically, you know, the...
It's like a monk, necromancer, ranger, sort of jack-of-all-trades.
Okay.
With an ill Wiccan twist.
what's the weird thing on its head? It's got, like, you know... It's like a scarf, but it's, like, around its eyes.
Right. Well, they're supposed to, like, be seeing into the spirit world or something.
Ew. So.
It's like Voldo or something.
Yeah, Voldo.
So who are you playing as, or what are you playing as?
I'm playing as an assassin. That's my new character. Mm-hmm. And so is everyone else.
Aha.
Which is the problem. You'll get into groups. You know, 8-man group is routinely going to have, like, 5 assassins. And, like, the rest of them will
and
be ritualists.
Yeah, but what do you expect out of an expansion, right? I mean, everybody wants to try the new.
Well, yeah, but you don't actually get anything done that way. And the people... A lot of the people who play assassins aren't really playing them correctly.
Correctly, according to you.
Assassins are not warriors. I'm sure a lot of the people on the Guild Wars message boards will agree with me.
Assassins are not warriors.
People tend to play them, you know, brush straight into combat, first man in, and also first man to die, because, you know, assassins aren't supposed to be tanks.
So they're supposed to, you're supposed to stealth your way through? Or?
They're kind of like hit and run. They've got a lot of... kind of teleport spells to help them get in and out of danger, which people don't seem to use very often.
So are you complaining about the game, or are you complaining about the people playing the game?
I'm complaining about the people.
But that kind of makes the game, though, doesn't it? I mean, if you're playing the game with a bunch of chodes, it's going to totally ruin the experience.
Well, I'm hoping that the excitement for the new classes kind of dies down after a couple months, you know, and people...
Weren't you telling me yesterday that, like, you know, because I was playing the original Guild Wars and I never got a chance to finish the original campaign, I could just not even bother with that and just start with a fresh character and the new
You could, yeah. I mean, it's like you don't even have to own the original game to play this. It's a whole new new campaign.
But you could, and you can create any of the character classes in the new one, right?
Right.
Not just assassins and ritualists.
Right, right.
So monk is going to be in demand again, like always in every one of these games.
The monk. That, you know, that's one of the surprising things is like a lot of the groups that I've been in on the story missions, there have been no... There's been a real shortage of healers, which is very weird for a game like this.
Well, what happens when you... Because you still have the secondary thing. One of the distinguishing aspects of Guild Wars is that, you know, you can have a secondary expertise. So what if you're, a warrior with an assassin as your secondary specialty? You see anything like that?
A lot of the assassin characters I've seen have been, like, primary assassin, you know, with but something
could
else.
Could you do, like, a primary assassin and secondary warrior or something? Would that fix the problem of the tank issue or no?
Well, the problem with assassins, whatever your primary class is, that's like the armor that you're stuck with.
Right.
And they have very low armor.
Right.
So.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Probably after a little while, the novelty will die down and people will... There'll be a need for all the other character classes again, right?
Right.
Sounds like a good game to start fresh in anyway, right? You were talking about how you can level up in 6 hours, get up to 18 or something.
Well, the good thing, yeah, I mean, like, the pacing of this game is hands down better than the original game. There's really, unless you're, like, attached to the face graphics from the first game, there's really no reason to start a new character in that game anymore. This Factions is so much better as far as... just like you level up really fast. Before I ever got off the newbie island, I was level 17. And like 20 is the ceiling.
Well, that's because you're
elite. Okay, so why is that good, though? Why is it good that you got to level 17 on the newbie island with a level 20 cap?
Well, the whole logic behind Guild Wars has always been that, you know, like the grind, for the grind to be as minimal as possible. Like that whole leveling up is just a very small part of the experience. And it's sort of something... It's not really what the game's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know, like WoW, you know, it's just, like, a constant race to get to the next level. That's just kind of, like, what the whole game is. You know, same with, like, EverQuest and other typical MMOs.
Well, so what are you doing?
He's breaking mice.
I haven't broken any mice yet.
You broke mice over Guild Wars?
So what are you doing? Yeah, missions?
Huh?
Then you just play the missions in the campaign.
You play through the story missions, and then there's a lot of skills to unlock. You know, I mean, like, the whole thing in Guild Wars is all about your character's skills, right? Each class has somewhere between 75 and 100 skills. And, I mean, you could have a level 20 character. If you don't have a good skill combination, you're still pretty worthless.
Damn, that's a lot of skills.
It's kind of like...
Is it kind of like Magic the Gathering?
You're
sitting there picking out what skills you want to associate.
That's always what I've kind of compared it to. Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun when you get like a really effective combination.
But isn't it kind of funny, though? Like, you could say, like, you can play WoW until level 60 and you don't consider that a problem. And then, like, just a matter of saying, okay, you hit max level, but I want to just go around and earn the skills afterwards.
Right. It's weird. I mean, because... Right. I like the having the goal of the leveling. But in WoW, like, I still just use the same weapon I always use. I use the same spells I always use. But that doesn't bore me for whatever reason. Like, I like the goal of the leveling. And I think I get overwhelmed by the choices of having to make skill choices, you know?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I always like playing with new skills when I get them just to see what else my character can do. The whole leveling has always been sort of like this boring hamster wheel kind of experience to me.
Yeah, well, I'm like a hamster that way. All right, we got the peanut gallery over here is talking behind our backs here. Do you have something to share with the class over here?
We're flipping through the most recent issue, and I'm just pointing out all Darren's deep involvement in the realms of EverQuest and EverQuest 2.
Yeah, it's a teaser for June. I voluntarily sat in the pit and was a GM for a day. Well, actually, yeah, a weekend, actually. And busted a gold farmer.
That was a great idea, that story. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I got a shout out to the guys over at SOE. They were really cool. Let me just sit there and just be a jerk for a couple days.
Right. So, Darren spent a full day?
Well, it was actually 2 days.
Two days. Down at Sony Online, plugged in as a GM, a game master in their online game, and he fielded questions and petitions from people playing the game who did not know that he was a CGW editor. So we got a really cool and funny sort of behind the scenes at what these poor people have to deal with day in and day out.
And actually, I'd say that the biggest surprise from that story was that just about everyone that I dealt with was so, like, actually pretty cool about it and reasonable. Like, I busted some guy whose last name was Does It From Behind. And he was, like, genuinely surprised that, like, you know, that someone was offended by the name. So
really?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, well, he was an assassin, a hunter, I forget. But so he changed his name with, you know, he had no problem changing it. I was expecting this huge fight. And
it's kind of ironic because you're a guy who's had to change his names multiple times in online games.
Yeah, and I think the best one was getting tagged in, like, one email with, like, I think five names that were offensive.
Did your finger on the red button corrupt you that quickly, though, that you were ready to assume the role of hall monitor and meter maid with such zeal?
Right.
In a few hours, you know. I mean, because think about it. It's like my name is Porn to Kill in Battlefield, and like I said, you go into the wrong server, and immediately people start, you know, complaining if they don't ban me outright.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're that guy.
I'm that jackass. Well, you know what? I basically tried to follow their rules for the day. But then when it got to the finally tracking down the Chinese gold farmer, I just said, okay, now I got to screw with this guy.
Did you ever feel like, was it Skinner? Was that the experiment? You know, shocking the prisoners in the other room.
I'm thinking of the mall cop from Mallrats.
Exactly. You know,
dude got beaned with the sock full of quarters.
Totally. No, I kind of was in some weird way. I was kind of hoping to be that jerk and just totally abuse the power. But that's another part of it, is that they actually had these safeguards in place so you couldn't abuse the power back when it was still, you know, when it was, you know, 989 Studios or Variant. It was like the Wild West. I mean, like I was talking to one guy who was telling me how old GMs would catch some dude gold farming and they would jump into that character, possess him, and have him walk off a cliff.
Wow.
Just
amazing. That'd be awesome.
I know.
But that can still happen, can it? I mean, isn't the WoW controversy that happened with the GBLT thing because a GM sort of made a decision on his own to do something?
Well, right. But I mean, like, you know, making a decision like that's one thing, sure. But actually, like, jumping in and possessing another character.
Yeah.
Or actually just, like, typing something, the equivalent of a slash kill, and saying, okay, get out of my way.
That'd be great.
I wish I had that power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the worst person for that Skinner box experiment.
So that's an Arjun issue, along with the cover story on Spore, which we're very excited about. Well, I am, because I wrote it.
And you got a chance
Dana,
to see it.
But the cover, if you guys haven't seen it, it's been posted on my blog, and it's on Kotaku.com, and GamingSteve.com picked it up. And, I don't think they're showing this game at E3, are they?
You know what? Actually, they are.
They are.
I think maybe a little behind closed doors, but a little insidery stuff, but, like, Wired's having a party, actually.
Okay.
And like, Will Wright's going
to that's right. Will Wright is going to be doing it. But this game is not going to get a whole lot of exposure at E3. So if you want to know about Spore, you got to read our magazine.
That's right. We're not going to tell you anything about it here.
Yeah. Not a word.
Hey, bitch.
Hose.
Let's see. What else have we been playing? I got the Heroes 5 build, as I said. And I've been playing a lot of that game. And it is really good. So I have to extend major kudos to Nival Interactive and Ubisoft for actually doing quite an amazing magic trick here of pulling a dead franchise back up by its bootstraps and making a good game. I had no hopes for this.
Man, you know, and yeah, actually, well, two things I can't wait for. One, seeing how Might and Magic's going to come about with, you know, Dark Messiah. They showed that off recently. That looked pretty cool.
That game looks awesome. I don't know how it's going to... They said it ties into the storyline, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget at the moment, but they're kind of viewing it as some sort of trilogy where, like, the story is, like, one leads into the other.
Yeah. I don't know. The story in these Heroes games is never... Maybe they'll do a good job of it in the Dark Messiah thing.
The armies of Erekesh doth clash with the armies of Nebeltite.
Pretty much. I mean, all I do is, like, hit the skip button every time and just get to the battle. You know, it's like, whatever. Some frickin' princess has been kidnapped and... Yeah, yeah.
You slay ye mighty beasties.
Give me stuff to kill.
But, yeah, I mean, coming out of E3 with Dark Messiah, we'll definitely be seeing a lot more. It's one of the things I'm looking forward to at the show. It's got a
Dark Messiah.
Right. They'll be showing the multiplayer, which we've talked about in our cover story before, but we're going to get some hands-on time with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
I'm also really looking forward to Crysis. Some other stuff that's come out of that game is that we didn't talk about quite so much. It's just the vehicle segments, the parts where I guess the devs are really in Germany are really big fans of Top Gun and wanted to create that sensation of flying through clouds and this and that. So it's got all these dimensions, and then just down to the geek level. And in addition to the recent videos we caught coming out of the Game Developers Conference this year, they're doing a lot of work with animation and something in geek speak known as inverse kinematics, which is basically involving making characters' footfalls kind of like place accurately or realistically against the geometry. So instead of that sliding feeling you get in so many games,
right,
especially in shooters and first-person games, you know, you see characters kind of skip and slide around the environment. But this time, you know, aliens, humans, whatever it is. And it just adds to that overall immersion, that feel that, you know, you're really there and that there's consequences for actions.
I like to skip, though.
Have they come up with the information of what the systems are going to need to run Crysis?
It's scalable. I mean, of course, with, you know, the Crytek guys with Far Cry went the other direction where they had this massively scalable game. It would work on a variety of systems. And this one, they do want to push you toward, you know, a DirectX 10
totally.
Type experience. But at the same time, from what I understand, there's going to be a new version of DirectX 9 that's going to approximate some of these things that are capable in the other. And so if you want the watered-down version and you haven't upgraded to a DirectX 10 system, you'll be able to get a degree of that there. But if your computer is old or middling right now, I'd say no. But
you're going to need 1,000 gigs of RAM.
Oh, great.
No, yeah. That's definitely not the case.
Just kidding. 500. No, that game looks pretty amazing. Anything else that we're looking forward to at E3? We are going to be at E3 next week, we should say. All next week, all of the gaming industry, including us here, your humble editors, will be at the E3 convention in Los Angeles. And we're actually going to podcast from down there, we hope, if we can all find each other in the same place, sometime from the show floor. But what else are we really excited about seeing down there?
I'd say for me, it's like I always enjoy like the surprises that I find like in the back corners of the halls. Like everyone's like, mm-hmm. everyone keeps their eyes for like, you know, the big booths and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's, you know, obviously there's like Gothic 3 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, like even like just diving into like Kensha Hall and looking into like, this is kind of really stupid, but if you look at like 1C or Buka or any of these companies like out of Europe, it's the stuff that gets bought up eventually by Ubisoft and gets brought to the States.
Right.
So, quick explanation.
Kensha Hall often has those like weird like device, you know, like the...
Oh, I love that stuff.
You know, the like the hats with mice on them, that kind of thing.
Quick explanation for the listeners as to what Kensha Hall is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You guys are frequent visitors
to
Kensha, don't you?
It's like all like the guys who can't afford the big booth. It's kind of like the...
Right. That's the slang for it. That's what Kensha afford a better booth, right? Isn't that what Kensha Hall?
Then there was
the... That's a little borscht belt humor.
Thank you, Chuck.
But it's the place where you want, you know,
wow,
first class.
I don't
class
think anybody's going to know that reference.
Borscht belt?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah,
you go there if you want to see, you know, $10 kickboxing sims and you know, product descriptions that are like with product fun time we all have and things
the English there is awesome. I usually we have a digital photo scavenger hunt every year, and that's where I get all my prime material. Just... But awesome.
Don't flip back on it. You're just saying that now that's where the real underdogs come up
well,
to play.
Well, sometimes, yeah, that's the case too. But yeah. I mean, like, you gotta...
Right. And it's one of the great things about the show is just seeing the stuff we never heard of that we would never expect to see. And I mean, some of it is silly and ridiculous, but every once in a while, there's something very cool there.
Cool there.
No one, the Kensha Hall, at least for the last couple of years, has had a very good grilled cheese sandwich.
And there's the Ryan Scott report. The hunt for the hunt for
now
the
we know why Ryan's about, going to LA this week. Just thinking about that grilled cheese sandwich.
I'm also looking forward to seeing BioShock.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely,
that's going to be good.
I think that's my number one must see game there.
There's a bunch of games like that. Kind of like I've heard about that I want to just see in action.
Uh huh.
Crysis, definitely want to see where that's at.
Apparently for Ryan, it's grilled cheese, and then what game after the grilled cheese sandwich?
What's the bump, Mac?
After
like
you eat your grilled cheese sandwich, what would you like to see there?
I'd actually kind of like to see more Crysis as well. That game is
way
really,
to jump on that
really
wagon.
Pretty.
I think.
Well, I'm usually not a big shooter.
Yeah, you're not.
That's true.
The frustrating thing will be seeing games like the new Wolfenstein and knowing that they're being demonstrated as console product first and having to wait for the announcement that, you know, hey, versions of these are coming to PC too.
So, or what about call? You know, is, you know, is there a Call of Duty coming to the PC at this point?
That's another one, right?
Oh, right. Good question.
Anyway, is it just going to be another defector to the console and just, you know, leave us bye?
Twisting in the wind.
Exactly.
Last Ooh. Word on that. I want to throw a quick aside in there that Call of Duty 2 multiplayer. I mean, I didn't do our review at the time for it, but the multiplayer is massively disappointing. And recently, you know, just in these past few weeks, they finally patched it due to, you know, pervasive cheating problems. It didn't ship with Punkbuster cheat protection or prevention. And the crazy thing is, within hours of that new patch and the Punkbuster coming out, people had already hacked around it to the same old hacks that they had been using prior to
wow.
it.
That's so basically, with Punkbuster in it?
Right, with Punkbuster in it. So basically, and the game itself is really, it's fun, but it was, multiplayer was like a step back from United Offensive Expansion Pack. It was basically Call of Duty 1 multiplayer, and then now add just the rampant cheating to it, and it's been a big disappointment. So there's my quick rant. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize. No.
It was off topic, but
no, it's fine.
I like those games, and I want to see them do it right, and it's just a bummer that, I mean, it's not all their fault. People need to quit cheating and stuff, too, but it's at the point now where if you're not cheating, it's almost cheating has just become the new standard for it. So you can level the playing field by getting the hacks, but you're basically playing World War II with Superman's X-ray vision.
I think Sean just said the most Pollyanna-ish thing I've ever heard him say. People need to quit cheating. Like, that's going to happen.
And right. The most hypocritical thing ever, considering who he's coming from.
Yeah, I don't cheat. I grief.
Right. Though. And he hacks, but that's he doesn't cheat.
No, I don't hack. I might exploit now and then. That's a whole nother. You know, that's fine shades. I mean, if you're how wicked we are, you know what I mean? Exploit, obviously, it's there. Anyone can do it. You don't need to.
Yeah, you don't cheat to win, right? You're not like, right? I mean, I've seen you grief.
I don't cheat. Ever, yeah,
yeah.
And that's more like I put a positive spin on that. It's like, you know, video game jackass or something.
Right, right.
Improv.
So there's one reader question I wanted to read this week. Unfortunately, whoever the doofus was who compiled this didn't get
me.
Darren didn't get the name of the reader, so we apologize.
I don't have to say anything. You guys do it to yourselves.
Classic self-loathers.
So yeah, exactly. We apologize to you, Reader X, but this is your question, whoever you are, and we love you. All right, here's his question. Quote, I found myself getting into more console titles the past few years after being mostly a PC-exclusive gamer ever since getting a C64 as a kid. So I was wondering how often any of you play console games during your free time. Also, what are your opinions about console and PC gamers being able to play together with titles like Final Fantasy XI and the upcoming Huxley? Okay, so do we play console games in our free time?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do we all own all of them currently in existence?
Yeah.
It's getting close to it, it seems.
I don't own an Xbox 360 yet.
What?
Me neither.
Serious?
Yeah, I don't either.
Wow. I always get everything the day it comes out. I don't know. Always been that way.
I keep waiting for Microsoft to send me
I'll get an Xbox 360 when Street Fighter 2 Turbo goes on Xbox Live.
It's coming.
You can play Uno on it right now, though.
Dude, Xbox Live Arcade on that's pretty cool, I got to tell you. There's some really cool like games on that.
I'm jealous of this whole achievements thing.
The subset for me, I have to say, the question, I mean, you know, coming from EGM, Electronic Gaming Monthly, sure. Which is console mag at a point, I'd been first and foremost a console gamer who became a PC gamer, and then this ties into the other part of his question, which is that what about these games where both groups can play together? And it was actually in the Dreamcast with Quake Arena.
Quake, yeah.
Where
right.
We already were coming together is when I started making the Switch. So I started playing that, and I saw the advantage that the guys with the, you know, both on the Dreamcast with mouse and keyboard and on the PC had. And then so I went and I bought those peripherals, forced myself to use them. And then after that, I was like, wow, this is a nice way
this
to play.
This is real gaming.
So then I started upgrading my computer, and from then, you know, the rest was history, and I continued to play both.
Your yeah. first taste is free.
Both platforms at the same time. But I think, I mean, that was a really cool thing. I kind of wish, I mean, I'm glad that more games are going to be doing that sort of thing. Huxley, it's not an antagonistic way in the way that Quake Arena was, where you're placing the controller guys against, you know, the mouse players. But we're supposed to be, in that game, you know, interacting and helping one another. They might come to us for some assistance on a mission, you know, on a cooperative mission, or the, and then, you know, we interact in ways like that without actually being able to smack them down. But
we need this wall to come down once and for all. PC versus console thing.
It's ridiculous. I think
it's old.
Well, yeah, especially in this day and age, you know, thanks to like the 360 with XNA, you could have games that can work really well together, like Huxley. I just keep thinking of some scenario where, like, you know, there's an obvious advantage of first person, a PC gamer is going to have over a console gamer with first person shooter stuff. So what if, like, the PC gamer is like, you want him in your squad as the gunner, and then you have some other dude who's like the wheelman or something.
The vehicle thing does actually make sense, because especially in cases where, like, you know, Huxley's going to have, you know, infantry combat and vehicle combat, and oftentimes like a dual analog controller will be the distinct advantage when it comes to vehicle control. A lot of people use those on the PC side too, for and they'll switch between that or a flight stick on certain games. So that could definitely make sense.
Just play to the strengths of the platform is all I'm saying. Oh, which reminds me, just a slight tangent, because I've been playing Auto Assault recently, and one thing I really like how they did is that I have a wired 360 controller that I plug into my PC, and if you just go into the options menu, check off the use joystick thing, and it maps every single button, every control you need, right to the Xbox controller. So,
nice.
So the right analog stick controls the turrets. The left one does the movement, and you can anything you need.
But you can't use a wireless Xbox controller.
Correct.
Right.
It's interesting. We're seeing, you know, less and less of the this versus that.
Yeah, you kind of are.
That we're using their controller. They got the hard drives now and are getting patches and downloads.
Right. It's nice. It's kind of a generational shift, maybe. Don't you think it's possible that it's time marching on here? Like, everybody has everything now,
right?
It used to be.
We want the Xbox Live type player matching and services. They've got the USB ports, but don't use them. I mean, it's all kind of.
I got to tell you, when I started at CGW,
for that kind of convergence
in 17. What year was it? 49.
The year of our Lord.
There was such an anti-console bias on the staff. It was like out of control. Like, you know, it wasn't considered like the same, you know, a level playing field. Like, there wasn't a pro and con thing. It was just flat out console gaming sucks.
Right.
But didn't there, I mean, I've been reading since like the beginning days, but like, I remember there being a time when like CGW would be reviewing like console game, like TurboGrafx-16
games. Yes, that's in the old days, like in the 80s. But like by, say, 1996 or so, and I started in 97, there was clearly a line drawn. And like I remember when the day the N64 launched, we got it, and or somebody on the floor, not CGW, got it, and bought Super Mario. And everybody in the whole floor was looking at Super Mario, and a couple of the CGW editors walked in while we were all looking at it and just basically scoffed at this game. And
really?
Meanwhile,
Carmack and Romero were looking at it and saying, wow, how could we do this?
Right. And it was unreal to me. I mean, I was at CGW at the time, but I was appalled by that sort of attitude. Like, just because it's on a console, we can't take it seriously.
The attitude's so pervasive. On the console side, you get it in finer shades of, you know, oh, I play Xbox games or I play Sony games. And then it's the whole, you know, I only read Marvel comics. I don't read DC comics. You could just take the argument just gets more ridiculous. It'd be like, well, I only see movies. You know, I don't watch television or something like that. I mean, it's like if you like the medium, read the Marvel comics that are good, read the DC comics that are good. You know, if you like games, play the good console games.
You know, the analogy I draw a lot of times is like, you know, PC gamers to a degree are kind of like those guys who, you know, drive around modded cars with the dubs and the neon lights and all that stuff. These are the guys who are like the tweakers. And they kind of like consider themselves
tweakers.
Totally.
Crystal meth addicts?
Yeah, exactly.
Cricketeers?
That's what I am. Anyway, but I mean, the point is like they kind of like have to set themselves at a certain station above others, I guess.
Yeah.
The insecure ones, at least.
Well, I used to write about that a long time ago. It seems less prevalent now, but I used to, you know, write about that sort of like perceived, you know, PC gamer superiority. And I used to just say, like, do you know how the whole rest of the world looks at all of us as gamers? You know, like, you're no different than them in the eyes of the people who don't play games. You know, we're all immature losers. You know, so don't set yourself above the guys playing Mario, because no one else can tell the difference between someone playing Mario on a Nintendo and you playing Quake on your PC.
Right.
You know. You hear that?
Yep.
You're all losers.
That's right, you on the bus right now listening to this.
Oh, I thought of something else on the convergence topic. Is like I'm more and more playing console games on the PC monitor. You know, so because I don't have a high-res TV or whatever. And actually, I like being closer now sitting. You know, a lot of times console hardcore people will say, you know, at least I get to relax on the couch or something. But I like to be, like, have my face right up in it for some reason, you know, just, like, feel more attached, more immersed in it. So it's fun playing them on a monitor, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to tell you, man, consider saving up some bones, man. It's totally worth it. The biggest dilemma I've had recently is debating whether I play Oblivion on the PC or the 360, just for one very simple reason. I have a huge-ass TV that I just invested a lot of money in, and I'm like...
You've got a huge monitor, too, though, man.
That's true.
Why don't you give me the monitor, and you can play it on the TV?
Yeah, Darren Gladstone has the world's biggest PC monitor.
And the biggest thing to... and I have to compensate for something.
Okay, well, and, you said it, not us. And now it's a matter of public record.
So awkward now. It's public
HR.
So, yeah, to answer that question, just to sum up, we all play console games here a lot. For me, it's more than any other kind of gaming. For me, it's like I'm off the clock, you know? Like any PC game, even if I'm not reviewing it, I still feel like I sort of have to have my brain engaged so that I have an informed opinion on it. And, I mean, I guess I want to have informed opinions on console games, but it's not technically my job, right? So I can just sit around and play whatever, Shadow of the Colossus or Brain Age on the DS and not have to think, you know? It doesn't feel like work to me, because gaming is such hard work otherwise.
So what's your brain age?
Woe is me. 28 is my brain age.
Yay!
That's fine. I play a lot more on the PC in my free time, which is, like... I wondered if that would flip when I switched from the console mag to the PC mag, because at the console mag, I played PC more in my free time, too. And I figured maybe it was something like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It feels like I'm not working. Mm-hmm. But no, still play. It's the whole multiplayer part that, that makes me...
I don't know. It's a 50-50 mix for me, although I spend a lot of my time looking at... Sound kind of lame, but I actually spend a lot of my time looking for freeware online, like looking for those like indie games and stuff.
Darren looking for free stuff.
Boy, I imagine that. Yeah, okay.
Speaking of quick, I played Robert Coffey in his column Falling Pieces mentioned a couple free games. Well, not free, but demos of games, you know, that you download. And one of them's Mosaic, the Tomb of Mystery. And it's actually it's a pretty fun game.
Oh, yeah,
it's unlike
is.
In that it's unlike... you know, it's not just another riff on the old Falling Blocks paradigm. It's actually this basically a puzzle composed of these little pieces, and you place them in whatever order you want and goes from there and gets more complicated. But it's a pretty cool game. Recommend
it. Do we have the Earl in the magazine? Because you could read it off now for those listening.
95. Yeah, it's reflexive.net.
Oh, those are guys who did, yeah.
Mosaic, the Tomb of Mystery.
They've done some good stuff. Check out the rest of their games, too.
Oh, yeah, and then the Tetris Maker's new game, too. I downloaded that. It's called Dwice, and not feeling that so much.
Dwice?
Yeah, that guy's kind of losing it, in my opinion.
Well,
you know what? If you one hit,
if you've made Tetris
slump for that,
yeah. I think you can retire after you made Tetris, you know.
Alexi, not feeling Dwice.
Okay. We're done here. Are we done?
Yes, we're just going to get our tarot read now, I guess.
Oh, the tarot. Yeah, I should say that sitting in front of me this whole time that you've been listening and we've been talking, I have Heroes of Might and Magic 5 tarot cards. They're actually nice-looking cards, don't you think, Ryan?
Yeah. Very nice.
In fact, Ryan took one of the boxes. He was so excited about it. You know, you got your fancy artwork here. Anyway, I'm not just
that
bringing...
That stuff is dork-sided.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
You going to read our fortune, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm going to read your tarots on the air. But no, I'm not mentioning these just to say we got them and you didn't. I'm actually mentioning them because we want to give away a few. We have a few boxes of Heroes 5 tarot cards to give to you folks out there. And we don't have to make this a complicated contest. I would say, like, why don't you just send me a note saying you want one at my blog, cgwjeff.oneup.com. First few who email me and say they want tarot cards.
This is dabbling in the dark arts, though, so just be ready.
Be very careful.
Right.
Object to any kind of mild Satanism, or what is this here?
That's kind of satanic.
Demonology.
Looking.
That's like a bug for your computer.
Right. Okay, so if you get these tarot cards and then go on to commit some, like, you know, bad crime or if your parents hate you after this or send you away to reform school or a convent, you know, don't blame us.
Blame video games.
Blame video games. Yeah. They're evil. Okay, kids. We'll see you next week. And when you hear from us, we will be at E3. How exciting.
Wee.
Oh, no. Another wee. Okay, we're out. Goodbye. See you next time.